He's about 455 yards away. He's going to hit about a 2-iron, I think.
This is the School of Motion podcast. Come for the MoGraph, stay for the puns.
Motion drop hits can be a little bit inaccessible for people like me because, you know, it's trendy to create typography that has like really small text and everything. But, you know, if you're visually impaired, that can be very difficult for someone to read. So I think that's definitely something that motion designers should take into consideration when doing, you know, more commercial work.
If you've seen one demo reel, you've probably seen the majority of them, right? Most of the time, they kind of play out the same. A title card that says reel, the year, maybe an indication of what job title the person has, and then it's off to the races. 30 seconds, maybe a minute's worth of work, and then we cut to another title card with some type of call to action, normally a website or an email address. That's about it. Sometimes the work is great. Sometimes the work has some intriguing points. Sometimes it just isn't the right fit for the studio you may be working at. But when I saw Laura Porat's new reel, it really made me stand at attention. I was shocked. It felt totally different. Not only was the work good in the reel, but it really made me understand who Laura was, and more than that, what she wanted to do going forward in her career. And that is really the hidden truth about a demo reel. It's not just a look back at yesterday, or a reflection of who you are right now. The best demo reels, they kind of point to the stars and let me know what your aspirations might be. So let's take some time and actually listen to Laura about where this reel came from and where does she want to go in the future? But first, let's hear from one of our amazing alumni.
When I started getting into motion design, I had no idea what I was doing. I was a mid-level designer and illustrator who wanted to add animation to my skill set. I had only used After Effects a few times before I signed up for Animation Bootcamp. And from there, I was hooked. I've taken a number of the courses since then, and each one has been incredible. The teachers are some of the best in the industry, the assignments are super challenging, and most importantly, applicable to the real world. I recently went freelance and have gotten several jobs, specifically because of the work I did in my assignments. I owe it all to School of Motion. Thank you. My name is Deanna Riley, and I'm a School of Motion alumni.
So we've talked to each other before, I know in the past, and I know your work has always been excellent, but there's something about this demo reel that, A, you must have been cutting this demo reel while you're making the work, because I've never seen someone put a reel together so quickly after their, let's say, campaign finished. Were you cutting your demo reel while you were going, or was this just something that you put together like in a fury?
Yeah, so before I joined the Biden campaign, I was part of the Elizabeth Warren campaign. And when her campaign ended in March, I was sort of like just collecting the work that I did for her campaign. And then I put it on the website, and this happened like a few days after she dropped out. And then I just posted the link to my website on Twitter, and it got like a great response. And I had people, you know, I got like job interviews because of that like Twitter link to my work. So I knew I should do something similar for the Biden campaign because, you know, the campaign was ending. It was like the perfect time to drop a reel once, you know, around the time where everyone's talking about Joe Biden, and it would get me the most amount of views. So towards when the campaign was ending, I was collecting all of my work, but I didn't actually start editing the reel until like the day after the election.
That's still pretty fast. That's pretty amazing. So you had a hint that this could kind of have a lot of eyes on it if you had just the right setup at the right time. I mean, I can't think of many other events that had that many people just keyed into something positive around a campaign or a person. Like, that was super, super smart on your part. How did you get involved in working on campaigns versus working in, I think when we talked before, back when I think I was at Digital Kitchen, your work was more kind of that standard motion design, the work that we all kind of do day to day. How did you make the leap into doing this type of work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, I was back in LA. I was working in the entertainment industry, you know, just doing trailers and kinetic typography and that sort of thing. And then I saw a listing on the School of Motion job board, actually, for the Elizabeth Warren campaign. So I kind of, and I was following along with the Democratic primaries. You know, I was pretty interested in them, and I really liked Elizabeth Warren. So I reached out to her campaign, and a few months later, they ended up hiring me. So I moved to Boston, and I worked on her campaign. So it's really thanks to School of Motion.
That's amazing. I mean, that's amazing. So you actually picked up from LA and went to Boston. That's unbelievable. That's a lot of commitment.
Yeah. I mean, I was growing kind of bored with doing like the entertainment work, and I wanted to do something that sort of had like a positive impact on the world. And I figured, you know, we all saw how 2016 went down. So I was curious, like, if I could use my motion graphics skills for something good, because I mean, I'm not really good at anything besides motion graphics. So I figured I could lend myself my skills to a political campaign. And it just happened that the Elizabeth Warren campaign was also looking for a motion designer. And, you know, the Joe Biden campaign needed a bunch of motion help. And I mean, the coronavirus pandemic, you know, reeled the need for motion graphics because people weren't filming things. People weren't going to in-person events. So it was really like the perfect time to be a motion designer in politics this year.
Absolutely. I mean, that shows such great commitment. I feel like I have the exact same emotion, but I was never able to figure out, well, what can I do that can actually take all this work and specialization and studying and kind of struggle to get better and then get confident and actually like do something worthwhile with it. I mean, I feel exactly the same way for the longest time in my career that I can't think of many things where people work so hard, but then their work is like ephemeral. It goes away almost faster than it took them the time to make it. That's such an awesome thing. Do you have any insight or any kind of goals on how to take that energy that you've kind of created with working for a campaign and a hugely successful campaign? Like how do you take that and find new work? Do you have an idea of like what this reel, which has gotten tons of eyes on and tons of reaction, how are you going to use that to take your next step?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still figuring out my next steps, what my life will be post-campaign, because I really loved working for two political campaigns this year. And it's made me realize that this is sort of the kind of work that I want to do in the future. Like, I would love to keep working for, you know, progressive voices, maybe help the next AOC or, you know, whoever's coming up. So I don't think I will be working for a campaign anytime soon. I mean, campaigns aren't really happening until like 2022 anyways, but I definitely am like looking for work like in political based agencies. And, you know, I know people who are like volunteering their skills for such as the Sunrise Movement. So maybe also doing something more activist based, but yeah, I'm still figuring out my next steps.
I think that that's probably, I think there's probably a lot of people in the same boat as you, but you've taken the first steps towards that. I feel like there's a growing need for more studios or companies that almost dedicate themselves exclusively to this types of work and just trying to find ways to make it profitable enough to be able to have a good quality of life and a work-life balance. But I think in this world where we're dealing with COVID, we're dealing with all the politics, everyone's struggling with the idea of working from home, but still doing commercial entertainment type work. I think you found the first steps into a whole new area for motion design, where not only do you feel good because you're making good money, or you feel good because there's some high profile work, but you feel good because you're actually making change. I'm super excited to see where you go and where your next steps actually lie. I'd love to ask you what the experience actually was like working on a campaign, because I think there's a lot of people that have no idea what it was like day to day for you, but are really, really interested in trying to find themselves in a similar position. How did it compare to your kind of day-to-day life working in LA in the entertainment industry?
Yeah, I think politics and motion graphics, I feel, are like very separate industries. But once you break into that, the political side of things, you'll find that there's a lot of demand for motion graphics help. And they're always needing like video editors and that sort of thing. So it's kind of weird how they're like two separate worlds. But once you like break into it, you realize like, oh, hey, it was here all along. Actually, I don't think it's just advertised that well. Yeah, working for a campaign is definitely intense. It's crazy. I mean, people in the entertainment side of things, they complain about like crunch time and long hours. And in politics, like that's every single day, you know, you work.
Right.
Yeah. You work every day. You work weekends. I mean, it's definitely not an easy job to balance. Like if you are a parent or, you know, if you want to have a life outside work. I mean, I'm not saying that every single day is like that, but it's like that a lot of the time, especially working for a presidential campaign. I mean, like towards the end of the campaign, it was, I mean, I was working 7 days a week, you know?
Whew, wow. Yeah, it feels actually more like the grind that you can get into when you work at a VFX company than kind of the day-to-day motion graphics, where there is a hard deadline. Like that election is not going to change days. Like the deadlines for, you know, when people can actually register to vote, like those are hard and fast. Did the nature of the work help you kind of get through some of those deadlines, knowing that it was for something? Like I know on my end, you put a lot of time into work that even when you start, you know, it's not really going to do anything. Like it might look cool and it might end up being like a really great 2 seconds on your demo reel. But at the end of the day, another trailer for a movie that you know is probably not going to be that great, or a product that you know no one's really going to use. Like it makes it hard to kind of face a 7-day week. Did that make a difference for you knowing that A, that there was probably going to be an end in sight, but B, it could actually make some real change in the world?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the good thing when I joined the job is I knew that there's going to be an ending date. Mm-hmm. And so I knew when my job would end. So I knew I only had to like endure it for a few months. So that definitely helped. And then, yeah, just seeing my work, you know, go online and seeing people's reactions to it, I think made it a lot more bearable to handle. I mean, don't get me wrong, like it definitely had my dark moments, you know.
Yeah, but
you definitely don't want to like overwork yourself.
Can you talk about the range of work that you got to do? Because I think maybe people have a false sense of if you did work for a campaign or you did work in this type of world, that the work may be a little, I don't know the right way to say it, maybe not boring, but very unchallenging. Because when I look at your reel, the range of work that's on this reel for this campaign, it's pretty crazy how far. Like you're working on videos, you're working on AR, VR filters, you're working on some quick turnaround stuff, but you're also doing like visual effects type work. I see there's compositing, there's tracking. It seemed like the range of work that you got to touch. I mean, even talking about things like illustration, it was pretty amazing how fully featured that work actually was that you were asked to do.
Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky that the Joe Biden campaign was very open to letting us carve out what we wanted to do. So I knew I wanted to touch on as many different aspects of videos as I could. And I mean, I had the technical skills to, you know, do camera tracking, but then also do like Instagram stories or like AR filters. So, and I didn't know how to use, how to make AR filters before I joined the campaign, but so it was something I like taught myself in like a few days. And then I was like, okay, here's a great idea for something that we can use. And the Biden campaign was very welcoming of different ideas and different perspectives. And they were like, yeah, that's great. Like, let's use this. We can totally do it. But that's definitely not the same for every single campaign. But right, that's how it was in the Biden campaign.
So are you saying that you actually pitched like using AR filters to the team? Like you had the ability to say like, hey, I know you're doing these types of initiatives, but what about this? And you had a test or something? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I was like a motion graphic designer, but I also had like a producer role as well. So I was helping like pitch ideas and like come up with ideas. So yeah, we had like weekly meetings where we just like brainstorm stuff. And I was like, hey, this could be cool. And everyone's like, yeah, let's go for it.
That's pretty amazing. I feel like that's actually maybe something that I think a demo reel that's nearly perfect. I'd love, like I've said at the beginning, I love your demo reel. I think it has such a great sense of your personality along with, in quotes, your client's needs, which I think is really rare. A lot of times a demo reel is just like, here's all the work I did, but I don't have a sense of who the person is at all. But I think the thing that maybe that I missed from this, from looking at the first time is that yes, you're a great motion designer and it sounds like you're doing some producing, but it feels like you're also acting as like an art director. Like that in a typical motion design studio, like that's the role of somebody that's at a higher level than just like, I can animate really well and I can do some drawings. Like, I think that that's probably something people don't realize can be a part of a job like this.
Yeah. I mean, for working on the Biden campaign, I think you really had to be like self-initiated because it was so easy to like get things like lost in the mix because the team I was working with was like really big. The digital team was like the largest in the biggest team in the campaign. So
wow,
we were working on so many videos every single day. So it would have been impossible for like, let's say an actual art director to like keep tabs on all of us. So we very much had to be like our own like mini bosses in order to like keep things on track.
That's awesome. Was that the first time in your career that you had that level of responsibility or opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. Other places, I was very much like a cog in the machine, kind of. So this definitely gave me the chance to like, you know, gave me a lot of freedom.
So I think that's awesome. Can you just give me a little bit of like context, I guess, for the audience? Like what's the structure of the team actually like? Was it fairly flat and there's just a lot of people like you that are motion designers, but are also really responsible as a producer and having a lot of kind of creative concepts? Or were there just a lot of people who also were just like, give me the assignment, I'll get it done and give me the next assignment?
I think it was like the latter. It definitely depended on your personality type. Like some of the people on the campaign were very much like, hey, I need, you know, to be assigned like a producer to like help me, you know, write a script for me. And then I'll just edit the video. And then other people I think were more self-initiated like me. In the campaign, it was very much like you have to choose your own path. So since I am very motivated myself, like that's the role that I took on.
That's amazing. I'm so glad we're talking to you about this because I think for a lot of people, myself included, this, it's kind of a black box, these types of jobs or these types of options. And I think, I don't know how you feel, but I know I definitely felt like even though there's all these tools and there's all these things we can do, motion design sometimes can get to feel like a little bit of a rat race. Like if you, like capital M, capital D motion design, like trying to get into those big shops or trying to work on those big client jobs. But I think the thing that we're all starting to learn, hopefully this class can help people learn too, is that there's so many more opportunities. If you know how to design and you know how to animate and you have a technical background, that can take you to so many different places, but your reel needs to tell people that you want to do that. Do you feel that excited about motion design, like where it can go? Or do you still feel a little bit like when you're talking about, when you're in the entertainment side of it, that there's still limitations?
I'm definitely excited about where things can go. Like I'm really interested in like seeing where augmented reality in general, and I noticed other motion graphics studios have also started to play with it, like Buck, for example. So I think, and like you said, we have so many technical skills as being motion designers, like we're graphic designers, we're video editors, we're sound effects artists, etc. So I think maybe if you're feeling like maybe one aspect of motion design is feeling stale or boring, you could explore a different aspect that also incorporates motion design capabilities.
Yeah, no, I think that's super exciting. I'd love to ask you how this reel is wonderful, and I'm sure you're getting a really good response, but like you said, there's probably not another major campaign like this for another 4 years. How are you going to take this reel or some of the work that's in this reel and go back out into the world to show people what you can do? Because I think your 2019 demo reel is good, and there's a lot of good work in there, but I feel like if I didn't know you and I watched this reel, the Biden campaign reel and your 2019 reel, I would almost think that they're two separate different artists. How do you feel like you're going to, like maybe it's just a case of confidence, like the voice that you project with this reel, even if I just watch it on Instagram, just let it loop a couple of times compared to kind of a standard, regular, everyday demo reel of just a collection of work, it feels so night and day different. How do you go back now and maybe look at making your 2021 demo reel? How are you going to approach that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I made this reel very much keeping in mind of, you know, people not in the motion graphics industry who maybe want to hire a motion designer, but they don't really know what motion designers are capable of or like what I'm capable of. So I really wanted to make a reel that was like, hey, I have a bunch of great ideas. I know how to do a bunch of different things. Like you should hire me. And also this is like my personality. And like you said, it was different from my older reel because my older reel, like I was, you know, freelancing at studio. So maybe I was just jumping in on a project, but I wasn't really involved with like the pre-production of things. You know, maybe I was just an animator or just an illustrator. So I didn't really have that much autonomy over the work. So maybe that reflected in my reel. But the Biden reel that I did, like I was very much in charge of the work that I did. Like everything you saw is what I made and I was involved in it, you know, every step of the way. So I think that was a difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. So do you think, I mean, I think there's a lot of people probably in a similar situation with you where they have a body of work that, you know, they know and they trust and they probably can get a job or get some attention from it, but then they have these other pieces and maybe they have two or three pieces that were totally self-motivated or they're an opportunity to stretch like you stretched with the Biden campaign. How do you go forward with that? Do you think your previous reels work and this new body of work, do they think they can sit together in a demo reel? Or do you think it would be better for you to take some time and actually create new work with that newfound confidence and that the skill sets like AR? Do you think you want to go and do some more work to expand on that and then come back in a few months with a new reel? Or do you think you can kind of just smush those two together and it will still show what you can do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think my current reel should exist independently of my older reel. So mm-hmm. I think my older reel doesn't reflect the work that I do anymore, and it's not really the work I want to do anymore. So I think my current reel is a much better indicator of what I want to do. Like, I want to be more involved in the creative process, but I also want to animate, but I also, you know, want to come up with ideas and execute those ideas. And, you know, like you said, you know, go into different areas of motion graphics, such as AR. Like, there's other things I want to do.
That is such a scary, but at the same time, extremely exciting time to be in your career, right? That you can actually say, you know what, everything that got me here, I don't need to show it anymore. I can let it go. And I don't have to be subservient to just saying, hey, whatever you need me to do, please hire me. You can start saying, no, this is what I want to do. And this is how I'm better than some of the other people you might be looking at. This is why you want to hire me. I think that's such a powerful place to be as an artist at the point in your career where you're at. I also have to say, just totally separate from demo reels, I love the fact that the next thing on your Instagram right after that is you actually exploring using Blender. Can you just talk to the people who made to be doing 3D? If you don't do 3D, maybe skip past this. But I'd love to hear, because I'm super interested in this, because I do think it also is something that you can demonstrate to people that you are on the edge of technology and you're pushing forward. What brought you to starting to play around with Blender, and what do you find exciting about it, and why do you want to keep on kind of demonstrating that you're starting to learn this new tool?
Yeah, so a few years ago, I had tried using Blender, but I found the UI very unintuitive. So I mostly just stuck with Cinema 4D. But since I think it was like last year, Blender came out with Blender 2.8, which completely like overhauled its UI system and like, you know, introduced a bunch of new elements that are like really exciting, such as Reese Pencil, which you can do 2D in the 3D environment. And you know, Blender is just constantly coming out with new stuff, and they are constantly innovating themselves. And, you know, it just runs better on my computer than Cinema 4D. So I always want to be learning new technologies and learning things that I think will be beneficial. And Blender just seems to be the right software for that.
I love it. I will honestly say I'm very envious of you, because I haven't had time to play with it. But the more I see more people playing with that and playing with Unreal and merging those worlds together, like, I love 2D animation. And if I could actually do like everything I love in the same app and dedicate time to one app instead of like a patchwork quilt of 12 apps, I think you have a really good instinct, Laura, in terms of where to go with your career. And I'm so glad that you're taking the time to talk to people, because there's probably a lot of people who don't trust their instincts. But the fact that you left LA and that you kind of took this position doing something that it seems like your head and your heart were both aligned together, and you could do really good art that could actually help change the world and also help you push yourself into new fields. If I look at that and I look at the fact that you're trying new tools. I mean, I have to say, I've been looking at your Instagram. I love your avatar. The character. It's awesome. And then also, like, I love the fact that, like, we talk a lot about positioning and branding and marketing in this course, because I think it's something that it's really important. If you're going to take all this time to show your work off, getting it to the right people and getting people to very quickly understand who you are and what you're about. I love the fact that even like on your Instagram that it says Laura, memes expert, gift creator, motion designer. Like, that is that plus like a little bit of your work and seeing kind of like who you are and then getting a chance to talk to you. I think you're a great example for people to understand that like it's okay to be who you are and emphasize that and not just be the next person doing the same thing that Man versus Machine or Oddfellows or Buck does. And you can have your own path and you can have your own style and you can have your own voice. I just want to ask one more question. That was just me waxing poetic about, I think you're a great example for a lot of our listeners. But I want to ask you one question, and it could be anything, right? It could be software. It could be you personally, what you'd like to see, what you think in the bigger picture. But if you could change one part of the motion design industry tomorrow, no costs, no time constraints, what would you like to see be done differently?
That's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the lack of diversity in motion graphics, and that's definitely important. But I also want to talk about the lack of accessibility in motion graphics, because, you know, I'm a disabled woman. I'm deaf. So my disability does play a big part in the work I do. Like, for example, I design videos not really thinking about the audio. So that's why a lot of my work is more visually driven than, say, like audio driven, for example. So motion graphics can be a little bit inaccessible for people like me because, you know, it's trendy to create typography that has like really small text and everything. But, you know, if you're visually impaired, that can be very difficult for someone to read. And, you know, if you're designing an explainer video, but you don't have subtitles or captions, or you don't make room where subtitles and captions and they overlap on important elements, then you're kind of alienating, you know, a part of your audience. So I think that's definitely something that motion designers should take into consideration when doing, you know, more commercial work. I mean, if it's a personal project, like, I understand, I don't mind. But if you're creating separate clients, I think that's something you should keep in the back of your head.
Thank you so much for that answer, because I feel like until we have more people who have this life experience, I feel like it's always on the artist's shoulders to push back or push up to clients, to agencies, to brands, because there aren't those people in their rooms, but hopefully there can be in ours. Again, I think that that's why I really hope you do think of yourself as a leader in a lot of different ways. This demo reel is great. I think the path that you're trying to explore to kind of trailblaze in terms of not just thinking that, you know, the Nike job or the big studio is the only like one true way. I think that's a great moment of leadership. But this is another thing that it doesn't come up enough in the room when you're talking to a client, that, you know, like these are things that are, they're not just something to tick at the end of a list of deliverables. They're something that has to be designed from the beginning, from the onset. And until there's actually people in the room that have experienced that and seen what it's like when it's not there for them, it's not going to change. So I love that answer. It's something that we should be seeing more and more often.
Well said. I completely agree with you.
Well, Laura, this is coming to the end, but I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for putting this reel out. I cannot wait to see what your next demo reel looks like.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
So now that you've heard from Laura and where she was in her career and where she wants to go, and have taken a look at this actual reel, what does it make you think about your own demo reel? Are you in the process of making one? Have you thought about it? Have you been a little uncomfortable with where your reel's actually gotten you to now? Well, I'd really encourage you to just go back and take a look at Laura's previous reels, and then with that new context, watch the reel that she did. What I love about her most current reel is that it really says who she wants to be and the type of work she wants to work on, and really the types of places that she wants to partner with. Now, does your reel have that kind of focus? Does it answer the question, what can you do for me now, but also where you want to go in the future? Well, if not, this is a great example of how to think about making a new demo reel. And if you want to get the inside edge on how to make a demo reel that is aligned to your career goals and really explains to someone on the first watch what you can do now and tomorrow, take a look at Demo Reel Dash, because we're going to go in depth on not just how to make a demo reel, not just the cutting and selecting of shots, but also what to do with that demo reel once it's finished. We'll be talking about how to position, brand, and market yourself to make your own magic for the career goals that you've always wanted to achieve. That's it for now, Motioneers. Stay inspired, and we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.